There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Green 19 Podcast. I'm Dominic Yates. I'm joined by Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein. The Packers pick up really a very impressive road win over the Pittsburgh Steelers, 35-25. 5-1-1 on the season. Aaron Rodgers, he sacked three times. Jordan Love was terrific. There's really a lot of different angles and really things that we can just kind of break down through this game. But as always, I just like to get your guys' opening thoughts and just an instant analysis, if you will. And Spoon, you can start it off.
Well, the better quarterback won. That's all I will say about this game. You know, the guy who played better won the game, and he was the difference in the game. I would say through the whole game he was pretty good. He got betrayed by some of his offensive teammates in the first half, but in the second half they all came through, everybody, and he was on it. You could tell that this was an important game to him. And Rodgers, you know, Rodgers has to have a lot going for him to win. Right now, at 42 years old, and also, he'd be a lot better off if he's playing with guys he knew better. But Jordan Love can do things that, you know, athletically that Rodgers can't do anymore, and he just played as solid a game as I've seen him play.
You know, to the first thing you said, the better quarterback won. I completely agree with you. And I feel like that is so much more of a statement to Jordan Love than it is against Aaron Rodgers. I mean, let's be clear. Aaron Rodgers is still a decent quarterback. He's very limited. He's not what he used to be even 5 years ago. But he's still decent. He's a quarterback that teams can win with in this league. He put up a 101 passer rating tonight against a very good defense that did pressure him quite a bit. And he was able to still make plays, took care of the he's a solid quarterback. Jordan Love hit a plane tonight, especially in that third quarter, where outside of a playoff game in Dallas, maybe that first Thanksgiving game in Detroit, I'm not sure I've ever seen him hit that level before. So the question is, was that a new Jordan Love? You know, is he going to ramp it up to that level now? Or is that just a big game and he brought it and he had a great, great, great night? That's the question to me. But going back to what you said, Spoon, this is a hell of a win. I mean, this is a really, really solid win on the road at night against a quality opponent to go to 5-1-1, to stay still number one seed ahead of the pack in a loaded NFC. It was a very nice win. Aaron Rodgers played okay. Jordan Love just played out of his mind.
Yeah. Well, it was crazy to me watching this game, almost just how quickly a switch just flipped for these Packers. They were down 16-7 at halftime.
Yeah.
We were on your blog and just saying how nothing was going right.
It was a bad first half.
Yeah, but outside of one drive where Tucker Kraft goes down the field, he scores a 16-yard touchdown. That was pretty much the only drive. Bunch of three and outs. Two missed field goals from Brandon McManus. Penalties. Just sloppy play. Nothing was really going right throughout the game. And then, like you said, boom. And it was just pretty much all Packers the rest of the way. Just from watching, I guess, without really looking at the tape, did you see anything that they did drastically, like, different?
Well, so one of the things we pointed out at halftime was that, you know, if Romeo Doubs catches that deep ball that he dropped, if Tucker Kraft catches that ball on third down, those are drives that keep going, probably, and potentially score touchdowns. And they were just gone. And then, you know, you got two missed field goals. So that's if you go back and look at that and say, okay, if those things don't happen, maybe it's a different first half. It at least told you that there was potential for them to do something. But I think what happened in the second half was they adjusted to me it seemed like, they adjusted to the Steelers just playing in the box and decided they could get some yards, easy yards on the perimeter in the flats because, you know, they're coming up field hard and they ran a lot of little pick routes and screen type things and they just consistently kept moving the ball. And got some really nice, easy throws for Love, and he got in a rhythm. And then he made some really good, tough throws. And I thought they had the Steelers off balance pretty much the whole entire second half.
Yeah. There were a couple of areas, Ryan, that stood out to me with the offense. And really, you can take it any route that you want. But I thought about how, number one, you didn't have a guy like T.J. Watt just, like, change a game, disrupt the game, made it difficult. Cam Hayward, just like a lot of these really good defensive players, they weren't, like, these huge factors that caused problems for the Packers really from just throughout the entire game. Christian Watson made his return. Tucker Kraft on National Tight End Day was big. What were some of the things and just your thoughts on just that offense?
You know, that is a really good point that you make about – you know, the offensive line. Zach Tom did a really good job until he got injured on T.J. Watt, you know, and that's going to be obviously something to monitor. That's a big piece for them. They need Zach Tom.
He did come back, though.
They did? He did?
Yeah, like, Zach Tom came back.
Because end of the game, I'm always, like, face in the computer trying to write the final game story at the Gus. So that's obviously it's huge that he came back because they need him healthy, and he's been playing through so much this season that it's just the wear and tear. You do wonder, okay, is he going to be able to make it week in, week out? He has for a little while now. But the protection, I mean, it starts there, right? Yeah. He played really well against T.J. Watt. As far as the passing game goes in terms of the playmakers around him, I have a hard time distinguishing Christian Watson from Tucker Kraft. I mean, more and more, the Packers certainly have seemed to realize their best player is Tucker Kraft. He has 19 targets the last 2 weeks. It's the most he's ever had in a two-week period in his entire career. It sure seems like that's going to continue. Our colleague Pete Doherty asked Matt LaFleur after the game about the idea of building an offense around Tucker Kraft, and he said you'd be crazy not to. He's a beast with the ball. Like they've realized that they need to feed Tucker Kraft as often as possible every single week. What's going to make that much easier is, you know, this game is going to be remembered as Aaron Rodgers against the Packers. The most important thing that happened tonight is Christian Watson looks like Christian Watson. I know it's one game, but it's one game on a bad field. He's felt great forever. I talked with Christian Watson after the game. He said that this was always going to be it. It was always going to be Pittsburgh. They made it very clear there would be no playing before the nine-month mark of his surgery, which he said was a benchmark passed in the past week. They cleared that. He knew that this was the end of the 21-day window, so it would be this game. He'd circled this as the game to return. He felt like he could have played last week in Arizona, but made it clear, no, it's before 9 months post-surgery. You're not playing. And he didn't even push. He's like, okay, it's Pittsburgh. He comes out. He has four targets. You told me before the game that Christian Watson was going to have four targets.
Yeah.
I would have thought that would be a lot.
Yeah.
And then he caught all four for 85 yards, including a 33-yarder when he gets behind the Steelers' defense, sets up a touchdown in the second half. Christian Watson's field stretching, providing more space for Tucker Kraft underneath, is something that could work very well in tandem to set up a special identity for this quarterback, for this offense, for the passing game, if it continues. We'll have to see if it continues, but the pieces are there. You know, it reminds me, we talked about how, okay, this offense doesn't look like it's an offense with all of its pieces. They got a big one back, and it looks better. I don't think that's a coincidence.
I do want to hit on Tucker Kraft and get your thoughts on it, Spoon. I guess I'm a new guy, obviously, so I haven't seen a lot of him. But can you think of times where the Packers have had a tight end like this in terms of where he is such a huge piece to the puzzle offensively and where the offense could even run through him in the passing game?
Well, in the 90s, Mark Chmura and then Keith Jackson were huge parts of the offense. Mark Chmura was probably not the same kind of player. He was really good at finding holes in zones and things, where Kraft's just a human bowling ball. That was a time when the tight end was important. There was a time for a while where JerMichael Finley was going to be he was at the start of the 2010 season was going to be the centerpiece of their offense, and then he got hurt. So it has happened before, and the Packers have mostly been a wide receiver centric kind of a team, but they find a way. The tight end's always been important in the West Coast offense, and it's really important in LaFleur's offense.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of about time that they really focused on getting him the ball. I don't know what the delay was, or, you know, I know they wanted him to chip, and they were worried about the offensive line early in the season. But if teams aren't saying now that Tucker Kraft is, you know, one of their number one targets to take away. I mean, Mike Tomlin said after the game that they knew all about Tucker Kraft, and they knew they had to get him down. They had to tackle him, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah. Spoon, I like the way that you put it, because I've been saying since I feel like last November maybe that Tucker Kraft is their best playmaker on offense, but a couple weeks ago you put it as it's the biggest on-field injustice since the whole – why does Aaron Jones not get the ball more thing? And it just felt very much like that. Mm-hmm. It felt very much like all those games you're watching Aaron Jones just break down defenses. Like, why is he only getting 10 carries? This doesn't make sense. Why is Tucker Kraft getting 4 targets? It doesn't make sense. Like, it's the same thing. So, yes, it is about time.
Yeah. That's a mic drop from both of you guys, and can't help but agree. Is there anything else offensively you want to touch on before we switch over to defense at maybe came to mind?
Well, I thought Emmanuel Wilson had a huge game.
He did.
I mean, he got some really big, important yards.
Put it away. What a
Josh
first
Jacobs. Yeah, Josh Jacobs struggled. Looked maybe like he was still hurting a little bit. He did. When he gets to the goal line, he's a completely different guy. You know, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter if both his legs are tied together. He's going to score somehow. But he just doesn't have the explosiveness right now. And I thought Emmanuel Wilson just hit the line of scrimmage like a tornado. And then he caught the ball, you know. He had a couple of really important catches in the flat. Played a really solid game. And I didn't think he had played well up to this point of the season. And I thought he came up big for them in a important game. And so that's... couple guys did. Malik Heath did that as well.
Yes.
Malik Heath came up with some huge blocks. He had a couple of first downs that were really important. You know, Savion Williams got his first touchdown. And, you know, they're exploring. The one thing I thought was really important that first drive was they were bringing in guys. They were shifting. They were you know, they had Bo Melton in there at one time, Savion Williams, Malik Heath. They used everybody. And I think that creates, you know, matchup issues for opposing teams when you can bring in guys you trust.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they can't forget about some of these guys. I don't think you just because Christian Watson's back, say, Malik Heath, you're done, or Savion Williams, we just don't have room for you. You got to keep developing those guys. And I like the way that they rotated guys in.
Yeah.
The touchdown run that Josh Jacobs had was the one time all night that he actually kind of looked like Josh Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that was an incredible run. The burst that he had after the sidestep to the perimeter. Before and until then, I'm wondering, like, okay, how bad is his calf? Because he just did not have that spark. Emmanuel Wilson did have a good night. You look at the final numbers, 26 carries, 94 yards, 3.6 per carry. Not terrible, not good. Not good by any means. Not terrible. It felt for large stretches of this game like the run game was worse than that, which to me is the most impressive thing that Jordan Love did, is they didn't really have their run game tonight. All the uncertainty, the moving pieces, the lack of pop from Josh Jacobs, they had to put this game on Jordan Love's back, and he delivered without having that balance. That's not an easy thing to do. So for him to play this well in those circumstances, that was what impressed me the most.
You know, Spoon, you made me think about when you talked about Malik Heath and some of the other guys that they utilized. In the first half, that touchdown drive that they had, the one touchdown drive they had, I looked at Ryan during that. I said that play calling was terrific.
Yeah.
I especially when they got down near the red zone where they put Watson and Golden, all those guys on one side, and they get the one-on-one with Malik Heath, throw a quick screen to him, and he gets the first down. Yeah, and then the Tucker Kraft touchdown, the first one, was because of a great kickout block by Malik Heath.
Yeah, then they moved him and Watson. They moved him over to the other side with Watson, and then they do, I mean, the complete opposite side, and then he and Watson create the blocks for Kraft to get in the end zone.
Do you mean to say that Matt LaFleur might actually be a decent play caller?
He's a terrible play caller.
I didn't know that this was possible. How dare you?
They won by 10. He's supposed to win by 21.
Yeah, right.
Like, we know the rules here.
I tweeted after the game that was a really impressive win. Because it was. I think that was clearly their best win since week one.
Yeah.
Since stopping the Lions at Lambeau Field. The first comment I get is, second quarter is pretty rough, though. Like, okay, I mean, sure. It's not going to be perfect, but that was a really good win.
That's all it is. It was a team that, you could say, hadn't played at home. That was their third home game. They hadn't played in 10 days. Like, there was a lot of anticipation in this game. So to get in here, find a way to get a win, again, that's just impressive. No way, you know, no ands, ifs, or buts about it.
Yeah, and if you're going to play like crap in the first half, and then you're going to come back and outscore the opposition 28-9, I would say that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because you did something in the second half, you know, or something at halftime that worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I just completely blanked on Aaron Rodgers driving them down the field late in the first half and putting that touchdown. It was 9-7, and then Rodgers gets them in the end zone before halftime. But did it feel to you guys, it sure felt to me, like there was a buzz in this stadium tonight. I mean, before kickoff, it was buzzing. And this was not an easy environment to come into and walk away with a win, especially when then Aaron Rodgers playing pretty well. You know, I mean, that late touchdown, he's moving the offense, they're getting into field goal range, and they finish a drive. You're down by, you know, two scores at halftime. That's gut check time right there, especially with that buzz still in the stadium. Yeah, it's a pretty good win.
That's true. I mean, Jaylen Warren, I like his game. Like, he is a solid back. I enjoyed watching him out there. And Gainwell, I think that's how it says his name. Kenneth Gainwell, one
good
of the
name
other
for
backs.
Running back.
Yeah, he gained well. Both those guys, I think at halftime they had about 80 rushing yards between the two of them. But second half, like, with the Packers defense, I mean, the biggest thing, it's the penalties really were just a problem throughout the game. But, again, that pass rush was able to kind of hide and mask a lot of the questions that you might have in the secondary. But, you know, what did you just kind of see from the defense out there?
Well, you know, a week after Nate Hobbs struggles, Keyshawn Nixon struggles.
Yeah.
And immensely. You know, you can't play like that in big games. You can't, you know, give up on a ball down the sideline. It's kind of the second time he's done that. I don't blame him entirely for the pass interference down that was underthrown by Rodgers. That's a tough play, and the DB's never going to get the benefit of the doubt there. But a whole unnecessary holding penalty when Evan Williams made a great, great play on a pass to DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. I don't know what got into him. He got on a on a downhill roller coaster and he couldn't get off.
Yeah. Even the 45-yard pass that Rodgers threw in the first half, like he just was like
kind of
turned his head. He was just lost there.
And I don't know what the deal is. And really, you know, Carrington Valentine played better.
Mm-hmm.
Hobbs came in later and played They got to look at that position. Mm-hmm. Right now they're benefiting because they got a great pass rush. But I don't know if they have like a Super Bowl cornerbacks, to be able to carry them through. If they have to play Josh Allen in the Super Bowl, or they got Jalen Hurts in a couple weeks. I don't know.
It'd be interesting. Ryan, just any thoughts defensively on the Packers group?
I said all offseason they'd be fine at corner. It's the first night I start to wonder that. And they're still not giving up 100-yard receivers. I mean, they gave up, one this year? Yeah. It was the George Pickens in Dallas. I mean, it's not a terrible group. But what Spoon just said, Super Bowl caliber is the expectation. It's the need. That is the only, that is boom or bust, right? That is the defining part of this season. And is it that? It's the first night that I do wonder that, because you can't have whap-a-mole in the secondary. It can't be like, oh, this is Nate Hobbs' bad week. Oh, this is Keyshawn Nixon's bad week. Like, you can't just take turns having duds.
Right.
And they've gotten into that trend a little bit. The most surprising thing tonight's got to be Christian Watson looking like Christian Watson's first game back. Second most surprising thing, we were told all week that they were going to be patient with Nate Hobbs. And oh goodness, were they not. Carrington Valentine gets the start, and he played really well. I mean, he broke up the touchdown pass to DK Metcalf in the end zone, almost had another one.
Yeah,
on an island all alone, almost had another one. He did what Carrington Valentine has always done as a scrappy seventh-round pick. I mean, the good thing about Carrington Valentine, he might get beat, but he's going to fight for everything. I mean, he will battle. His tenacity at that position has always been impressive, and he showed that again tonight. I think that's an admirable trait to have in a corner. I think it's something the Packers admire about him. I would imagine he'll be starting again next week. I also imagine that the Packers are going to be more patient with Keyshawn Nixon than they actually were with Nate Hobbs. Like, Keyshawn Nixon's played pretty darn well outside of tonight. So I think that's a different situation. So I would imagine it's going to be Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine against Bryce Young next week.
Yeah. But also, as far as Carrington, he even tackled well in this game too, because that was always kind of the big thing with him. Mm-hmm. Can he tackle? How will he play physical? And you saw him, like, he was playing physical. He played fast. He made some tackles. So he was kind of a guy that I even talked about it during training camp. I'm like, you're going to have to find a way to get him on the field. And he was putting pressure almost on coaches to say, hey, you got to play this guy. So that really stood out to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule out Nate Hobbs the rest of the year. I still think he'll come around,
because
he was a solid, pretty good slot corner in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And, he got that money for a reason. I mean, he was a good corner. The problem was he couldn't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be the problem now, is that knee injury. I mean, that came up before the Arizona game, and I don't know, maybe he shouldn't have played in that game, because I think he popped up on the injury report on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then played, and he just didn't look very good. And maybe this time they decided, well, okay, we're just going to lay off him and see if we can let that, heal a little bit and go with Valentine. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they do it. But, they got a problem, because Javon Bullard's still their slot corner, and I can't see them taking him out. Mm-mm. I just don't see it.
It's a good problem to have, though, right? I mean, there are worse things than having depth. They might have a little bit of depth there. They just got to be more consistent with who's on the field. Injuries happen. The attrition of a season. I'm totally with you. Nate Hobbs is still an important piece.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a physical guy. Like, you need that physicality on the defense. And, I mean, you definitely see it up front. So I do want to just kind of hit a little bit more on that pass rush, especially getting a boost, having Devontae Wyatt back in the mix. You were able to see some snaps from him. Yeah, you saw
a big difference.
It was a huge difference, right? And you saw kind of those adjustments too. And I think the run game for the Steelers kind of – it wasn't as great, you say, in the second half compared to the first. You have two sacks from Rashawn Gary, one from Michael Parsons. But it really just, again, guys were just active. And they talked about going into this game when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers who's played two decades of football. He's seen it all. He's done it all. It's going to be hard to disguise things or give him a look he hasn't seen. But at the end of the day, you have to try to get him off his spot. And that pass rush, I would say, like I said, did its job and made things a little difficult for him.
Yeah, I mean, what they did, I think, is they were okay with him dinking and dunking. They, you know, they just don't want Aaron Rodgers to tear him apart with 20-yard completions because I think they felt like they could rally to the football, and they did. And they could rush with four, and they could play a lot of zone. You know, Rodgers wants to have time, and he wants to be able to have long developing routes. He doesn't want to get the ball out of his hands right away. Mm-hmm. And they pretty much forced him to do that, and they weren't afraid of that. And I think that was a good game plan was, all right, we're just going to play our zones. You know, we'll fake some, you know, rushes, fake some blitzes, bring some guys around. But mostly we're going to just make you get the ball out of your hand. And I thought that was a good game plan.
Yeah. Ryan, just any final thoughts you can say on defense or the pass rush or, you know, just what this defense looks like when you have Devontae Wyatt back in the mix?
Yeah, looks a lot better, doesn't it? Rashawn Gary has 7.5 sacks this season. You all know how many sacks he had last season?
Was it
6.5 or 7.5?
He had 7.5 sacks all of last season. He's only 2 sacks shy of his career high in 2021, 9.5 sacks. Micah Parsons bring out the best in Rashawn Gary. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that. I mean, give Rashawn Gary credit. He's a very talented pass rusher himself. But it's a different thing when you pair him with Micah Parsons, who now has 6.5 sacks this season. But like the sack numbers for Micah Parsons, it's like the iceberg, right? It's just the surface. There's so much in terms of his presence, his impact, that go beneath the numbers. It's just night and day what he brings and how much he frees up everyone else around. I think Rashawn Gary is the best example of that fact that he's sitting on 7.5 sacks right now. I said it immediately after the trade. Rashawn Gary's going to have his first double-digit sack season of his career. He's certainly on pace to do that.
He's got at least, I could think of 2, maybe 3, where he sacked a quarterback at the line of scrimmage because Micah Parsons had just chased him, you know, up into the – had come all the way around and chased him up into the pocket and then almost right to Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
So there's a huge, huge difference with Micah Parsons.
The first sack tonight, the third and 15, I thought that Micah Parsons was going to get a half on that. Yeah. I mean, he collapsed the pocket.
Yeah, he did.
Made the pressure, and he was in on it. So I fully expected watching it to be a split sack, and then it was all to Rashawn Gary. He opens a lot of those up.
He really does, and it's crazy because we've talked about that impact. We've talked about how it should elevate the players around him, and you're seeing that, and it's kind of come to fruition. Far from a finished product, but you get a glimpse throughout these past, you know, several games of what that pass rush can be when it's playing at a high level. And again, it was just it just did a good job on the pass rush, kind of hiding some of the things in the secondary. But you can kind of get away with that in certain games, at least in this environment. But moving forward, it'll be something to monitor. Special teams, you know, second half, you know, they got a little bit better, I guess. But
chip shot field goals.
Exactly. But it's really hard to even say that.
I'm not – I am against the – 56-yarder that he took. There's only one guy who consistently hits 50-yard field goals in this stadium, and that's Chris Boswell.
Hey, yeah.
Nobody else knows how to kick in this stadium, mm-hmm. and I thought that was a really dumb idea to try that kick just because Boswell had hit one. Just punt it there. Mm-hmm. I mean, this place, I don't know what it is about Packers coaches. I think it was McCarthy who tried. Nobody had ever hit a field goal in Pittsburgh as long. I think he tried a 58-yarder or something like that with Crosby. And don't do it. You know, don't do it. Pittsburgh is, it's notoriously tough to kick in. And for whatever reason, Chris Boswell knows how to kick here. And they should have punted.
Yeah.
You know, just punt and pin them down.
Yeah. And that's even a question that makes me wonder, did they move a little too soon with McManus out there? Because that was just my thing. It's one thing to say you're kicking a 57-yarder. It's your first kick after missing two games with the right quad injury. That was just my kind of head-scratching moment that I saw. But, again, I just – there's some moments with these special teams, and I sound like a broken record, but I'm like, these are just hurt. They just hurt this team. The opening kick return, it's a holding penalty. You backed up the Packers' offense. They go three and out. There were more penalties throughout this game. So that's just kind of the one unit that just hasn't delivered yet. Like, we talk about playing complimentary football. That's the one group that just hasn't done that part.
But their coverage is excellent. Their kickoff coverage is excellent.
It was better.
Their punt coverage is pretty good. Their punter is really good.
Punt return.
Punt returns was average. I'd accept their punt returns. I mean, Dobbs caught every single one. Oh, Nixon.
I was about to say the muff.
He shouldn't have been back there. I don't know what that
it's
was
impotent.
About.
It's impotent. It's impotent. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's average, but it scares nobody.
Yeah. That was dumb. The penalties are really the penalties. And, you know, I mean, you can't blame missed field goals on special teams coach. I mean, he, a 44-yarder and he kicks it wide, that's not on Rich Bisaccia, that's on Brandon McManus. Mm-hmm.
Unless Brandon McManus shouldn't have been kicking tonight. We don't know that. They felt good enough about him not only to have him active, but also to go out for a 57-yarder. I'm of a mind that everything we've known for years and years and years about field goal kicking is now rendered irrelevant with these new balls. So, had Brandon McManus been healthy these past couple weeks, they trot him out for a 57-yard field goal. I have no issue with that. The issue to me is that this guy's coming straight off of a quad injury on his kicking leg, and that's a lot to ask from a guy who's just back from an injury to his kicking leg. Had he been totally healthy, 57-yarder is like the new it's what a 47-yarder used to be. Like these balls add 10 yards of distance to kicks. Like that's 60 is the new 50. So that wouldn't have been the issue. I question, and even that, maybe it's just the stadium here, but then he doesn't look like himself on the 44-yarder either. So I don't know how the quad was doing. I didn't get to talk to him. I'm sure we'll talk to him this week about it. That to me is okay. If he wasn't fully ready, you do have Lucas Haversack, who just, albeit in Arizona, hit a 61-yarder last week. Should you have given him another week or not? They're very fortunate that it didn't actually hurt them, because then they're in the first half and early second half when it looked like this was going to be a really close game. That's 6 points. 16-7 at halftime should have been 16-13. Like, that could have hurt them.
Yeah, it's no question about that. So, I don't know, any final words and final thoughts on this Packers team and as we leave Pittsburgh and you head back to Lambeau for a couple of weeks? Spoon?
There's only two teams with one loss in the entire NFL, and they're one of them.
Yeah.
I guess that's an advantage for them as they go. But, you know, now the meat of their schedule is starting to come. You know, not with Carolina, but after once they start with Philly, then schedule's going to get a little tougher, and we'll find out a little bit more. But this was definitely a get-well game from the standpoint of they finally played at least 30 minutes where they looked like a legitimate playoff team.
You know, I think around the league, the Packers seem to have been slept on a little bit in recent weeks. Now, losing at Cleveland will do that.
Yeah.
Giving up a gazillion points in a tie at Dallas will do that. Looking disjointed in your wins will do that. So I'm not saying that it's wrong, but for me, as I've watched every game this year, I have never and still don't question the talent. They have Super Bowl talent on this team. They're Super Bowl talent. But you have to play to that level. Having Super Bowl talent is not enough. 2020, 2021 showed that. You can have Super Bowl talent. Doesn't mean you get to the Super Bowl. It depends on how you play. Tonight was the type of night where you could finally see that talent, what it can do when it reaches that potential. Mm-hmm. And now you have to extend that, right? So I'm wondering if there will be more Packers consciousness around the league after a performance like this on this setting. But I also wonder how they'll handle that, because you want to talk about this upcoming week, all the makings of a trap game, right? Against a Panthers team that is not good, but a Panthers team that, unlike the past couple of years, can beat you if you let them, right? This is not a team that you can just show up to the stadium, roll over for four quarters and win. Like, you have to go out and play to your level. If they do that, they will stomp the Panthers at Lambeau Field. But what's coming up after Carolina?
Monday Night Football.
Philly. Right? You can't be looking past Philly when you go against Carolina. We'll see if they're able to do that. That's the question for me this week. Because if they are, this is the type of game that you could – an NFL season is about building to a crescendo late in the year. It's all about building blocks. This was a building block type win. But it's only that if you continue to build.
That was going to be my biggest thought after this, and I talked with Pete Doherty about it. This was a good win, an impressive win. You get it done on the road. What do you do with it now? You can't lay an egg against Carolina. You can't struggle. You know, you can't just kind of just, I don't know, crawl through that game and not play hard. So that's going to be what is type of game. You know, is this a turning point game? Is it just a big momentum shift? And that's going to be the million-dollar question for me. What do they do with this game? But at the end of the day, they're leaving Pittsburgh with a win. Maybe they stopped at Primanti Brothers like we did, and they got a burger to celebrate the victory. We should see. Yeah, I know we should as well. But that wraps things up here in Pittsburgh, and we head back to Green Bay and have a couple weeks at home, and we'll get to see some games at Lambeau Field, which is kind of crazy. Was it like 51 days or something like? It'll be like 51 days or something crazy since the Packers have played at home.
Mm-hmm. Hey, considering I was officiating a wedding when they hosted the Bengals, I haven't seen a game at Lambeau Field since week two, so I am very much looking forward to being at home.
It'll be nice, and some cheese curds at halftime, and obviously just going home to sleep in your bed after the game. That's what it's all about. So, guys, thank you. As always, appreciate it. So we can get out of here and wrap this thing up. And we thank you for checking out the Green 19 podcast. For Ryan Wood, Tom Silverstein, I'm Dominique Gates.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.